from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
There's absolutely no way I was going to stay in bed for 3 days. Nope, wasn't going to happen. I was coming back in for fresh Fridays. Usually, Ursula, you miss Fridays. Like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and just take the rest of the week. No. I wasn't missing fresh Fridays. Good morning, Ursula.
And our listeners are better for it. Good morning. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Oh, man, I just had to get back and go through it. And Ursula. I'll tell y'all right now, being off work is awful. Like, my mind is not good off work. Well, I felt miserable.
I also saw you mixing it up with a few people on the text line, so I was cracking up about that because, like, wait a minute.
Oh, that was yesterday.
Yeah. Just cut it off.
Yeah. Missed you guys. Glad to be back. Ursula, what's going on the show today?
Well, is SeaTac Airport going to be the most miserable airport in the country again today? Off to a bit of a rough start. So we're going to talk about what's going on, because a lot of people are still traveling. A lot of people are still stuck. So I guess, more importantly, are those people who've been stranded at SeaTac going to finally be able to go? And hello, I have a trip coming up where I have to take an Alaska Airlines flight.
Yeah.
It's my first leg before I go to the Philippines. You know, I haven't been to the Philippines in 20 years. And if I miss that flight.
Are you excited about going to the Philippines?
I really am.
Yeah.
I really am. I haven't seen my mom in many months, but I haven't been there in over 20 years.
Who's all going? You?
Just me.
Oh, just you?
Yes. Our oldest son was going to go, but work is keeping him back.
Totally understand that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to it. I haven't said this in a while. It's time to get the people what they want. Ursula's top news stories of the day brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
It is a crime that has shaken many in Puyallup. Police have yet to make any arrests in the murder of a popular barber who was gunned down while he was cutting the hair of an 8-year-old boy in his shop. Jose Velez was known to everyone as JQ, and detectives believe he was targeted. His friend Josh tells Cairo 7 TV that's so hard to believe because everyone loved him.
He had a very big heart, and it's crazy because I wouldn't know anybody who would not like him.
JQ was working late Wednesday afternoon when someone walked in and then fired off several shots.
It makes me feel sick because not only that I lost a good friend, a big brother, a role model, that, you know, there was a child in the chair as he was cutting hair.
The suspect ran from the scene. Puyallup police described the man as 5'8", wearing black pants, a black jacket, and possibly a mask.
This really bothers me. Schools, churches, and barbershops. Those places, back when I was coming up, used to be off limits. What I mean by, what do you mean by off limits? I'm talking about off limits to, like, sometimes in the barbershop, you have some of the toughest gangsters in town that came to the barbershop to get cut. Some of those same gangsters would go to church. And by the way, I am not saying that this was gang or anything. So please don't think that. What I'm trying to convey to you guys is there used to be boundaries for whatever beef or whatever is going on. This seems senseless. Oh, and by the way, you shoot this man, you kill this man while there's an 8-year-old in the chair. No, there is no physical harm to the 8-year-old, but this 8-year-old has to live with this for the rest of their life, Ursula. I've talked to some people yesterday that have said nothing but amazing words about this man, about this barber who lost his life, 43 years old. I know exactly where the barbershop is. It's down there by Crockett's, by next to the 7-Eleven downtown Puyallup. And no, things like this, no. Things in the barbershop don't go down like this. This is a sanctuary place. I told you and I shared with you, Ursula, growing up, I shared the barber with Fluky Stokes. Fluky Stokes was one of the top drug dealers in the country. You guys can look that up. He was buried in a Cadillac. His son was buried in a Cadillac. But I went to the same barbershop with some of the pimps, hustlers, and all that. There was never no fights, no incidents, no nothing inside of a barbershop. So this lets me know that whoever this is somebody young. This is somebody that just let emotions run tough. This is someone who just, I'm sure that they are going to be caught within a week. This person right here, whoever this is just senseless.
I hope so, because that is, it's so disconcerting to think that someone would walk in there, have, again, a complete disregard for human life, didn't give a, you know, a rat's you know what, mm-hmm. that there is an 8-year-old child in the chair. I mean, and the police say robbery was not a motive. So that was not what it was. It was definitely trying to settle some kind of beef. So hopefully we get more details, and hopefully there is an arrest soon. Pierce County Sheriff's deputies still haven't arrested anyone in connection with an attack on a Yelm High School football coach. Sergeant Darren Moss says this attack happened after Yelm beat Bellevue in the playoffs on Saturday at Bethel High School.
It was in the parking lot. Somebody approached him from behind him, hit him in the head, and he fell down to the ground, and then a couple people kicked him and then walked away.
What's interesting, though, is that investigators have a very clear picture of a young man wearing a Bellevue High School sweatshirt who is considered to be the main suspect here. But Sergeant Moss is quoted in a Fox 13 news story as saying that the case is not being actively investigated because, this is a quote, of a lack of department resources. The coach, thankfully, only suffered minor injuries. The Bellevue School District says it's looking into this matter, and it takes the allegations very seriously.
I gotta say, I was really confused by the lack of resources when it comes to this. Hey, look, if there is an assault, if there's something, there needs to be an investigation so they can properly find out what happens. Now, you can't always take every single side of the story. This is why there needs to be an investigation. Now, with this, look, one thing I've learned, Ursula, after sporting, you've learned this too, sporting events, and you've known this, sporting events kind of brings out some stuff after
sore
the games.
Sore losers? Sore losers, some unbridled passion or whatever you want to say, where it's just so overboard. Yeah. I mean, seriously, mm-hmm. a loss, and then you end up, like, again, why?
Yeah, but
if you know, mm-hmm. and I'm just going to, this is based on what I've heard kind of behind the scenes.
Yeah.
They know who, I think there's just no will to arrest this person. The picture could not be more clear.
Hmm.
It's not like it's going to be rocket science to figure out who this is.
Right. Well, I do know one thing. The whole, like, the resources to figure those out, I'm quite sure you're going to have to get the resources together, make sure there is an investigation, and find out all the sides to the story and what happens in this whole deal.
Well, SeaTac had the dubious distinction of being the most miserable airport in the country yesterday. So now, are things going to be better today? On Thursday alone, so just yesterday, there were 177 cancellations at SeaTac, 143 of which came from Alaska Airlines. And Cairo 7 TV's Didi Sun spoke to some of those stranded passengers.
This couple left Arizona on Tuesday, headed for Hawaii. The flight got delayed, and now?
But it's been 3 days.
They've spent two unexpected nights in Seattle area hotels.
And all I had was short capri pants and t-shirts and flip-flops. So we went to Costco and got sweaters.
A good chunk of their Hawaii vacation at SEA Airport instead.
We had to return our car at 11:30, but our flight's not until 6 o'clock.
Okay, so in addition to the weather, a spokeswoman for Alaska Airlines says the size of the airport also adds to the challenges, making de-icing work more difficult.
And so when we go slow, we have to thin our schedule out. The airport cannot keep up with the capacity when the operation needs to slow down.
And between Tuesday to today, Alaska Airlines has canceled more than 440 flights. More than 20 have already been canceled this morning. Again, most of them being Alaska Airlines.
I don't know what's going on with Alaska. Alaska. Now, y'all know I talk very highly of you.
Yes.
You guys are my go-to when it comes to flying. As a matter of fact, if you guys remember, a year ago, I missed my uncle's funeral due to the cancellations. And we know that Omicron was kind of hitting a little bit. So, understandable. But right now, it's a little tough because when there's cancellations and that happen, the one thing that we talked about last year, we'll talk about it now again. People are missing things that they can never get back. You can refund the money, but you're missing a funeral. You're missing the opportunity to see your loved one, right? That last moment. You're missing the birth. You're missing maybe a graduation. You are missing something. So these things cannot be given. So it's frustrating that Alaska is shutting down, but every other place, Frontier, Spirit, American Airlines. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you right now. If I show up and Frontier and Spirit is flying out and Alaska's chilling.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know. And like you, I am a big supporter of Alaska Airlines because of how well they treated me when I had COVID and I had to make a change.
For sure.
But there's more to this whole story. Now, Alaska Airlines said, well, you know, and Dee Dee's son did ask him, why are you having it much worse than other airlines? And that spokeswoman said, you know, Seattle is its main hub. Operations at SeaTac represent the largest percentage of flights at the airport by a wide margin. Mm-hmm. So that means customers are also disproportionately impacted. But again, there are a couple other factors in play. For example, if you have to make cancellations due to weather, that's not on the airline because the airline says that's out of our control.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think some other things are mixed in there, and Alaska Airlines can do it because, well, right now you can just say weather.
Well, I just wanted to see if you could confirm this. Am I correct that when an airline cancels a flight due to inclement weather, they don't owe you anything, do they?
That's what I believe. I mean, I think that's one of the
But
ways out.
But Alaska does show love that way. And that's why they, you know what I'm saying? They do show love.
I'm sure
love.
They don't want a lot of hacked off customers. No. But no. The people that spoke to Cairo 7 TV, I love how lighthearted. And they're like, oh, well, you know, it's like what you expect. I'm just telling you right now, in 2 weeks, if I miss my connecting flight, I will not be so kind.
Look, check this out. I mean, I'd be loyal to Alaska Airlines like some folks be loyal to Donald Trump.
You're not getting paid for it's not a paid endorsement.
Oh,
it's
no,
just
no.
that yes.
No, I don't get paid.
I think that generally they do really well. This though, I'm just a little dubious. Okay, Seattle-based Red Robin is paying more than $400,000 to employees for alleged violations of secure scheduling and wage theft laws at their Northgate restaurant. So these allegedly happened between January 1st of 2018 and September of this year. The restaurant is accused of not posting work schedules at least 2 weeks in advance, not paying their employees for schedule changes made by them, and not giving the required rest and meal breaks. So in a statement, Red Robin says it has reached this negotiated settlement without admitting any fault because they want to put all of this behind them and they want to focus on recognizing their team members in a fair and equitable way.
Let's rewrite the headline. Let's change the headline. Instead of Red Robin, let's put G. Scott. G. Scott to pay $400 back to Red Robin after he was found to be stealing from the cash register.
$400,000.
Right? No.
Oh, you want $400?
I'm just using $400.
Okay.
Right? I would get charged. I would get fired. This would be on my record. When my resume, I go to apply for another job, me stealing $400 would stay with me, Chef and Ursula, for the rest of my life. Meanwhile, Red Robin can, oh, we're sorry. My bad. Hey, employees, we stole from you. $400,000. Let's negotiate. No, in my opinion, Red Robin, this is be a place, and I'm going to say it right, this is be a place that nobody goes to no more. Because they're thieves.
They have those bottomless fries.
That take half an hour to arrive.
They're thieves.
Okay, wait.
They're flat out. They're not trying to.
I'm not trying to justify anything.
Is Red Robin a thief?
In this case, they were shorting their employees. Absolutely. And that's
are they
what
shorting?
Yeah.
Are they a thief? I'll say it.
Yes.
If I short you, yeah, I'm a thief.
Yeah, do you
know, being a thief.
Yeah, do you know how and you know how big this is, though? I mean, Red Robin is not alone. Here's the sad part.
What's that?
Wage theft hit a 15-year high, actually already back in 2019. We're talking about over $287 million illegally withheld from workers. This is from the U.S. Labor Department. So just locally?
Yeah.
And it was in the headlines just recently. Mm-hmm. It's closed now, but Willow's Inn on Lummi Island, $1.37 million class action wage theft lawsuit. Back in September, two Cash America pawn shop locations had to settle allegations of wage violations for more than $383,000. In the past, I think there were employees who were like, it's just part of the deal, you know. My company is not putting up, they're just going to change my schedule on a moment's notice. They're not going to let me have breaks, and we're just going to deal with it. Employees are not doing that anymore, and companies are having to pay up.
Yeah, I know that some people are like, gee, you're making this a big deal. Call it. No, that's being a thief. Because if an employee steals $100 out of the cash register, they're going to be labeled that. And so when companies do this, we got to quit putting on the kid gloves and softening it up and saying, well, they didn't. They just kind of, you know, shorten. No. And we already have a problem with people in lower wages anyways, fighting to just make enough money. So the people that you do this to, they're in situations where they have to accept it. And this is what I'm saying. Red Robin, there should be more of a penalty than negotiating paying money back. All right. It's good to be back, Ursula. Coming back up, speaking of the working class, what's happening right now? Because Congress votes to avert the rail strike. And what does it mean to have a 7-day paid sick time? We'll talk about the next generation.
Thank you so much for joining us on the G and Ursula Show on this fresh Friday. We sure appreciate you. Text us at 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. And you just heard it in Heather's newscast. A looming railroad strike next week has been averted after Congress passed a bill blocking the railroad workers from striking without paying the paid sick leave that workers were demanding. And both of our senators, Maria Cantwell and Patty Murray, voted in favor of this bill. And President Biden has now signed it.
As he signed the bill imposing a contract on objecting rail unions, the president acknowledged its lack of paid sick leave.
But that fight isn't over. I didn't commit we were going to stop just because we couldn't get it in this bill that we were going to stop fighting for it.
Mr. Biden said the decision to force the agreement reached by union leaders on the objecting rank and file wasn't easy. But he said a rail strike would have been devastating for the country. And he noted the workers are in for a 24% pay increase over the 5-year contract. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
So in our discussion off air this morning when we were talking about this topic and how we were going to approach it, G, you had mentioned that as far as these senators or Democratic senators voting in favor of it, that was a surprise to you.
Yeah.
It disappointing to you.
Yeah, it was a surprise to me. And it makes me kind of pause and maybe I need to dive into this more. What am I missing? Wow. Am I missing the past? Generally, in the past, it's been on record that that the unions negotiated doing away with the paid sick time for stronger, for more salary, right? But this is a time that can we agree that 7 paid sick days in a year is something that they can afford? You're talking about the $21 billion in profits that was made just in the first 9 months of 2022. Guaranteeing 7 paid sick days to the railroad workers, for some reason I couldn't say that, would cost the industry $321 million in a year. That's 1.5% of the profits. Ursula, it feels like I'm missing something here. So if you can help me out, that would be great.
So a couple of things. One is President Biden and others who signed it said, we're still working on that paid leave part.
Okay.
But it's just the idea that a strike would have happened next week right before the holiday season or during the holiday season at a time when our economy is already teetering on the edge of not going in a good direction. We're talking about, you know, recession, et cetera, et cetera. A rail strike would have cost our economy $2 billion a day. And it would have meant even higher prices for every single thing that you buy on a daily basis. Okay. So had it dragged on for even a month, the estimate was that 700,000 workers would have lost their jobs. So, yeah, there needed to be this intervention. And also want to point out now, obviously, they should continue demanding that you get you should be able to take sick leave and be paid for it when you are sick. I mean, that's just that should be something that happens. And I think that's still in the works. But it was there were certain I think there were 10 different unions and only some of them had agreed to the new contracts, but others were holding out. And if they'd gone on strike, this would have had just enormously devastating consequences for everybody. And also, it would have put what is in the contract in jeopardy, which is a 24% pay increase over 5 years. I think it's historically one of the biggest pay increases that they're receiving.
I don't care how much of a pay increase you get if you still don't get sick days, and I don't care how much you get paid if you still don't get sick days. That being said, I think this is the sort of thing I've been told my entire life is the adult decision, the mature decision, the moderate decision for a president like Biden to make, and I would have made the exact same deal. And here's why. If rail workers go on strike and hold up the economy to the tune of $2 billion a day, who in the general public is going to think that the rail workers are holding the country hostage versus the railroad companies holding the country hostage? The vast majority of people would point right to the workers
like
and they would
do.
Point right back to the Democrats and say, how dare you allow railroad workers to hold the nation hostage and tank our economy? That is simply the perception of this. President Reagan did the exact same thing when it came to air traffic controllers back in the 80s. And he said, I'm sorry, you don't have the right to strike. I'm not going to ground the nation's travel because you want more money. And he was applauded for it. I don't know if the dynamics are different now, but I can completely understand why Biden did it.
Exactly. And I think that's difficult given that Joe Biden has said he is the most pro-union president. You know, he's Union Joe. So it puts him in a very difficult position because he now has to go, you know, the union's not happy and they're saying, pay attention to who voted for this, you know, because this is not what we wanted. But again, sometimes you've got to look at the greater good.
On Ursula Chef on Tuesday morning, excuse me, on Tuesday after the show, and I had an appointment and then I made it home. And even we went to the dentist and my dentist even sent me a message afterwards. She was like, are you OK? You didn't seem like yourself. Right. And then I made it home and then I told you guys, hey, I just woke up. And then Chef texts right back. You're sleeping during the day.
Yeah.
Like Chef, like, I know something's up if you're sleeping during the day. The reason why I'm bringing that up is, look, can we just for a second? Can we just put politics to the side? Can we put whose side you're on to the side? I just took off 2 days, two paid sick days. It shouldn't matter how much money someone makes. If we can agree that this industry is important to us, then the people that are working in this industry at least deserve seven payday. I just took two off just now. And all I do for a living is talking to a microphone. Right? Like 7 days? I'm missing something here. Give the people seven paid sick days.
Well,
please.
And and Chef, can you please look into this? Because I'm reading through and it says the provision to add 7 days of paid sick. I don't think it's a total of seven sick days. I think it's adding seven more days.
We'll talk about this with Michael at 10, so we'll certainly clarify.
Yeah, which makes a big difference. Okay. I mean, if you're talking about, hey, I only get 7 days total versus, hey, I want to add 7 days, I think that makes a big difference, too.
Ursula, it's the holidays.
Yes.
And it's the holidays, and right now, The Huffington Post has an article in it. And the title is How to Get Through the Holidays with Dietary Restrictions. Right. And if you should phone ahead to the people whose house you're going to and say, hey, I need to let you know my dietary restrictions. Well, we'll talk about that next. It's G and Ursula. G and Ursula Show. Happy Fresh Fridays to you. Coming up at 10:06, Michael Medved will join the show. Ursula.
Yeah, well, I wanted to make a quick correction or clarification because before the break, I was asking, I said, are these seven additional sick days that they're asking for? And it, as of right now, they don't have.
They have zero.
Yeah,
they
have zero, so they are allowed
to use personal time. But the union says that because of staffing issues, they're often denied those days and often retaliated against if they decide
wrong.
To take them.
Yeah, that's wrong. So they need to fight for that. But as of right now, a strike has been averted.
Mm. Anne in the 206 said she loves the music. She stopped working for a bit and danced.
Love it. Love it.
We need to talk. And many of us, we connect over our fond memories during the holidays, the end of year celebrations that happen, whether it's at home or at your family's houses or here at the office. So the question is how to help reduce any discomfort around the topic of dietary restrictions. And as we get older, I've learned, Ursula, we get some of those, right? You know, like, I got to stay away from the dairy. Why? That's personal. But anyways, so here's a few things out of the Huffington Post. How can I get comfortable with sharing my dietary needs? And the next part is, when should I tell the party host about my restrictions? Well, according to a registered dietitian and food allergy expert, they said it's helpful to communicate about food allergies as soon as possible because this allows you the chance, to find out what food will be available at the party or the get together or whether or not it is safe or unsafe. If the host appears open to accommodating you, ask them about the menu and ingredients used to make certain dishes so you can learn what options might be safe. By the way, I'm going to tell you guys right now, this entire article, I totally disagree with. But anyway, I'm going to give you guys more of this.
Okay.
Here's the next one. Should I tell the host about my restrictions in writing or over the phone? Well, traditional rules of etiquette suggest that party RSVPs should be done in the same manner in which the invitation was offered. So if you got the invitation over email, then your response to them about dietary restrictions should be over email. Don't call them, they say. Next, what should I do if I don't know the party host very well? Well, according to the expert, they says, when you're invited to a holiday party hosted by maybe a spouse's office or a roommate's friend or something like that, it can be a bit tricky to figure out how to best explain your dietary restrictions. So, as a first step, they suggest asking your friend to find out the details of what will be served. Another question, is it okay to bring my own food to a party? They says this is a very easy way to kind of bring something that you could eat. However, you still want to ask the host first because they might have a planned menu. They might have a, you know, plated meal. Bringing something without asking is not a good idea. So don't do that. And last but not least, this really stood out to me because you know how I am about human resources. Who should I talk to about my dietary restrictions when there's a holiday party at the office?
Mm.
Well, office holiday parties are often stressful events for office administration, office administrators, human resources reps, and everything. They says it is always smart to communicate your dietary restrictions with your manager or HR. So,
okay.
Ursula, here's what we need to talk about. I'm going to say this, and I probably shouldn't do it. yo, if you got dietary restrictions and you're getting ready to go over to Chef's house because Chef is going to be inviting some people over to the house, or you're going to come to the office potluck and all those things, you grown up. Know what you're getting ready to get into in advance. Going through all the motions and going through HR to talk about your dietary restrictions. Ursula, that's just too much. That's too much.
Okay, so let's break it down for if you're going to a party. Let's say you're going to a sit-down party at a friend's house.
Yes.
If you have like a peanut allergy or a seafood allergy, and it could really cause a serious health impact if you are exposed to it, I totally get it, and I, as a host, mm-hmm. would absolutely want to know. I wouldn't want to figure that out.
That's true.
Day of.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I think that you should let the host know, mm-hmm. Because, you know, and attend. I mean, it shouldn't preclude you from going to this holiday party or whatever it is. Let's say you are vegan or vegetarian or whatever. Again, if you know that it's going to be a big group, I love the idea of bringing your own meal. Or letting them know in advance. Again, how well you know the person. But it is so hard to accommodate for that if you don't know in advance.
Yeah.
But, for example, in our family, one of my nieces is vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been times for holiday gatherings that she has brought something that she likes and she shares it with everybody, and that they're delicious enough that some other people might want to share in it. But she is guaranteed that she's going to have something that she can eat and she yeah. wants because she's brought it.
I would say that most people with dietary restrictions that I know, they are very easy on things. They're so simple. Oh, I'm coming over here. Oh, okay. You know what? I'm going to probably bring a little something because yes. I want to make sure yes. I'm good. Chef, but I did ask you earlier. I said if you're having people over at your house, you actually would make sure that you would check out everybody's dietary restrictions before they come to your house.
Absolutely. I mean, it's actually a reflex from working in restaurants because we do tasting menus where we'd surprise people and here's seven courses, and you always ask, do you have any dietary restrictions or food allergies? And I always ask that if new family's coming over to our house, because I don't know, why are you going to go to the bother of making your smoking mac and cheese for folks if they don't eat dairy?
I mean, I'm making it. Anyway, well, gee, when you're making your macaroni and cheese, can you use non-dairy? No. It's going to be extra dairy.
And why are you going to bother cooking food nobody's going to eat?
Well, they're going to eat it.
Yeah.
They're going to eat it. Like, you make that sacrifice.
Good luck.
No. Or how about most of the people who show up are going to eat it. But Brian, who just came back from a cruise, says every meal on the cruise ship, said they asked us if we had any food allergies. We should normalize this. There you go.
Well, okay. There it is. You always know I submit when I say, okay. Coming up next on the Gene Ursula Show, Michael Medved is going to join us, and we're going to ask him all kinds of questions, as we always do here on the Gene Ursula Show.